Would you pray with me, please? We just sang, Lord Jesus, who else is worthy? And the answer is nobody. You are the only one who is worthy of our praise, and so we praise you. And we thank you. We thank you for all the ways that you have cared for us this past week, even in difficult times. Thank you for that. And now as we open your word and as we read it and as we talk about it, give each one of us an encounter with you right where we're at in our life. Help us to find that nugget that will allow us to live the life that you want us to live. Thank you for being so very good to us. I just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Sometimes after a song, you just got to pray. That was one of those songs. 2 weeks ago, we started talking about just the word real. And the fact of the matter is sometimes we talk about real life, and if we're not careful, that phrase real life doesn't include the spiritual. And it's almost like anything we do that's spiritual, it kind of comes into the area of unreality, fantasy, that type of thing. And so what we're trying to do is just really bring it into, this is real life, this is all about it. Now, 2 weeks ago, we started looking at Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. We actually spent 2 weeks in one verse, which I think is great. We talked about real identity. We talked about the fact that if we're a follower of Jesus, we are chosen, we are holy, and we are beloved, and nothing can change that. And then last week, we talked about real character, the character of a follower of Jesus. We talked about we're supposed to put these things on like a shirt or like clothes, and our real character consists of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And I know that I asked people to consider learning these verses from memory, and I said we're going to say them every week in the worship service, and we're going to do that. If you haven't learned it, you can follow along on page number 984 in that Bible in front of you there. We're in verse 12, but for those of you who are working on learning it, let's say it together. Put on then as God's chosen people, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Now, that's all fine and good, but one of the things we'll discover when you read what the Apostle Paul wrote in his letters, and Colossians is one of those letters, he then takes some time usually to kind of say, okay, and this is what all these things look like. And so we're getting into this section. We're actually going on to the next verse now, verse number 13. And I want to read it, and then we're going to talk about it together. This one actually is one that could touch a nerve. But you know, that's okay. Nothing wrong with that. We'll just leave it up to the Holy Spirit to do the nerve touching. But anyway, let me read Colossians chapter 3, verse. I'm going to read verse 12 again and then verse 13. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against one another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. Yeah. It's interesting in that verse, Paul says, put on these five character qualities, and then he adds what, if you want to be technical, participles. Basically saying, how we do this then, and those are those two words, bearing and forgiving. So that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about, first of all, bearing with each other. No new news to anybody. We're all very, very different. And sometimes the way we view life is that the way I do things and the things I like are the ways that everybody should be. And if everybody was just that way, wouldn't that be great? And my response to that is no, it wouldn't be great. God creates us being unique people, and we're different from each other. We're different from each other. Some of the things are really minor. Some of us, when we eat a meal, we only eat one kind of food at a time. And after the bean, and we always eat the thing we like least first. You know, so you eat the Brussels sprouts first, and then you get to the mashed potatoes. I can't tell you how many times I've been sitting in a restaurant and have somebody call me out on that. Like, why do you care? I can tell I'm not the only one in the room that's had that experience. Or, you know, we like different kinds of music. This is no secret. You're going to find out about it anyway, okay? And please listen to me carefully right now because I don't want to create problems, okay? You ready for this? And Lee, we're still friends, all right? We really are. I really don't like modern worship music, okay? What I like is the Allman Brothers, okay? It doesn't mean it's bad. It's fine. It's a taste issue. Yeah, we all have different ways of doing things. But sometimes if we're not careful, we can begin to impose our expectations and the way we do things on other people. And Paul is simply saying, bear with each other. Yeah, you're going to be different, but you know what? It's really going to be okay. And guess what? It's actually going to enrich your life if you have these experiences with other people that are very different than you. One of the things that, man, I know that this is a hot topic, but I'm going to bring it up. One of the things is the whole area of politics. You know, where we've gotten to the point where it's just so very, very difficult to talk to people who think differently than we do about politics, about political parties and that type of thing. And I believe it's a good idea to find people who are totally in the other extreme and sit down and have coffee with them and listen to them and listen to the why they believe the way they do. And sometimes we never get to the why. We're so busy reacting immediately, and we're just so quick to almost go to battle and to take the time to really listen and to learn from each other. Those of you that are new here, you may not be aware of this. I teach at a school for Native Americans, and that's been a fascinating experience to hear people with different perspectives and to hear how they view all of these things. And I feel that many times we miss out. Many times we miss out. We aren't called to be clones. We're called to each be unique the way God has made us and to embrace that and enjoy it and celebrate it. So then you got things. I mean, I was seen here in worship this morning. Some people are standing quietly. Great. Some people are dancing around a little bit. I mean, that's really great. Somebody prays and says amen. Somebody back there yells amen. Great. Praise God for that. Praise God for that. Because Jesus said, you know what? Jesus said, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. And Jesus actually said, I am the truth. So if I know Jesus and it sets me free to be who God made me to be. And I think we can give each other freedom as well in all of this and not immediately demand that people be just like us. That's the bearing with each other part. That's the easy part. Now let's get to the hard part. Forgiving one another. That's tough. That is hard. And I know we expect that, you know, when we come to churches to be told we're supposed to forgive each other. I really don't care for that word supposed to, because automatically if you don't do it, then it lays a lot of guilt on and that type of thing. And the fact of the matter is we've all been through experiences where it's very, very difficult to forgive. Extremely difficult to forgive. I'm going to acknowledge that. Part of the problem is we don't really understand what forgiveness is. So let me give you a short primer on what forgiveness isn't. Forgiveness is not forgetting, okay? You know, we hear that phrase, forgive and forget, okay? Yeah, good luck with that. It's not going to work, because the fact of the matter is we don't forget. We remember. And no matter how much we try to forget, it's still there. And if we put an expectation on ourselves to think, I haven't really forgiven somebody until I've totally forgotten what they've done to me, yeah, good luck with that. It isn't going to work. Now, somebody could say, well, you know, the Bible says God forgets our sins. Yeah, of course, he's God and we're not. But even then, if you look at that carefully, it doesn't mean that he doesn't know about our sins, because he does. It's our sins that sent his son to the cross, but he chooses not to make our sins the basis for our relationship. Hang on to that thought, choosing not to make sin the basis for a relationship. Just hang on to that, because we're going to come back to that. Not only is forgiveness not forgetting, forgiveness is not allowing myself to continue to be abused. That's not forgiveness. And it's important that we understand that. God calls us. God calls us. You know, the Bible says, love your neighbors, you love yourself, but that includes loving yourself. And sometimes you got to draw lines and you got to make boundaries and you got to say, you know what, I'm not going to let this continue anymore because this isn't helpful for me and it certainly isn't helpful for you to allow you to keep on injuring me. So that's not forgiveness. Forgiveness is not saying that sin is okay. Sin is never okay. Isaiah 5 says very clearly that woe to those who call good evil and call evil good. That's not what it is. And many times those are the things that we expect of ourselves when we talk about forgiving people. Now, the other thing I want to do is I want to focus a little bit on just how important it is, how much Jesus wants us to step into forgiveness, because there are consequences if we choose not to forgive. First thing, 2 Corinthians chapter 2 says this, if I don't forgive, I give Satan an advantage over me. If I don't forgive, I give Satan an advantage over me. And it's important for us to understand that in going through this life, you know, we all have to deal with an enemy. We all have to deal with Satan, and he is attacking us. He is tempting us. He is lying to us. He is doing all these things. And when we choose not to forgive someone else, we are basically opening the door for him and allowing him to work. Neil Anderson, who leads a ministry called Freedom in Christ Ministries, a marvelous, marvelous ministry, he talks about a lot of the things that he has to deal with in helping people get free of Satan's influence is just bringing them to a point where they are willing to forgive those who have injured them. And please understand, the injury is real. It's not fake. It's real. And yet to forgive them. Secondly, lack of forgiveness can lead to bitterness, and according to Hebrews chapter 12, bitterness ruins people around us. It's not just ours to hang on to. It ruins those around us. And many of us have experienced that, where someone has been incredibly bitter about something that's happened. It's like all they can do is just spray out bitterness to the people around them. And actually, the Bible says it ruins many. Probably the biggest one that gets to me is in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 15. Jesus said this, after he gave us the Lord's Prayer to pray, he said, if you do not forgive men their sins, your heavenly Father will not forgive your sins. That's pretty direct. And I remember reading that, and I've been to seminary, which is a school for training pastors, and they teach you all sorts of tricks there. And I did everything I could to figure out a way to interpret that where it didn't say what it really said. You know, we're notorious for doing that sometimes. Well, I know it says that, but, and I couldn't do it. And basically what that tells me is if I'm living and being unwilling to forgive, that what happens is there's a barrier, there's a break that comes between me and God. And it's serious, and it's not something that God wants for us. God wants us to be in a relationship with him. And the consequences of not forgiving mean that relationship is broken. Let me explain it this way. Let's assume that you're married and let me use myself as an example. Let's assume I'm married. Oh, by the way, I really am. Yeah, let's assume that. And I do something really, really stupid and really hurts Sharon, hurts her badly. The moment I did that and she was hurt, that didn't stop us from being married. We're still married. But there's been a break in the relationship that needs to be mended, that needs to be repaired. And so it's not a matter of me losing my salvation or going to hell because I don't forgive or something like that. But the relationship is hindered that I have with God. And so God says, hey, I want you to do this because this is what my son did for you. This is what my son did for you. So the question then becomes, okay, all fine and good, but how do we do this? And that's really what I want to focus on this morning because, again, we want to try to keep it real. You know, how do we go about doing this? And a lot of the things that I'm going to share this morning, they're all from the Word of God. They have been put together really well by Neil Anderson in a book called Victory Over the Darkness, which has to do with our identity in Christ and being free from lies and those kinds of things. And it's been a tremendous resource, not only for me personally, but it's also been a resource in our school. We actually use it in our school as we're dealing with Native Americans who are coming off the reservation where there's been all manner of chaos that they have been through and all manner of trauma that they've been through, but also in dealing with generational trauma because that's part of the world that we are in, and that's what we have to do. And we found this to be very helpful. So I'm simply going to share what is in the Word of God, and hopefully it will be a help for each one of us to step into freedom, okay? And I would just encourage you, if I'm all done today and you're saying, man, I just don't know if I can do that, I don't worry about it, okay? Don't get shook up about that. Just hang in there and trust God to work with you at the right time. Sometimes we think that everything's got to be on speed dial, you know, boom, 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 boom. You know, we read the Old Testament, we read about the people of Israel coming out of Egypt and spending 40 years in the wilderness, except you can read about that 40 years in the wilderness in about an hour. And so somehow it feels like God fixed everything in an hour. Sometimes it just takes time. But time isn't a bad thing. Time is actually one of God's great tools that he uses to bring us to a place of health. So let's just talk about it, okay? Let's just talk about it. First thing, probably the biggest thing, is that we have to know who we are. We have to know who we are. Because many times what happens is when someone injures us, when someone offends us, when someone hurts us, we can allow that hurt, that injury, to offense, if we're not careful, to become us. That's who I am. I am someone who's been hurt. I am a victim. That type of thing. And Jesus says, no, you're chosen, you're holy, and you're beloved. And yes, this happened to you, but this happening to you did not change who you are. You are my child, you are my daughter, you are my son, and I want you to know that. And then obviously the question comes, well, why did you allow that to happen? And that's a whole other comment. We'll probably get into that at another sermon. Bottom line is, with God, nothing is impossible. He can use every experience we go through to help us become more like Jesus, even the painful things. But we have to know who we are and not let that person who hurt us be the one who determines who we think we are. That's crucial that we understand that. There's a phrase we like to use a lot. Where we say, we're all broken. Now, that's true to a certain extent in that all of us have sin issues, all of us have weakness issues, all those things. And I guess in that sense, you could say we're broken. But sometimes we use that, and that becomes my identity. I'm broken. I'm not. I'm chosen. I'm holy. And I'm beloved. And that's who I am. And we hang on to that. We hang on to our identity. The second thing that is just really, really important to remember is that thing that was done to me, whatever that thing might be, okay, and I'm not belittling them in any way at all because they are serious. They really are. God has already punished that sin. Bible says in Romans 6:10, Christ died for sins once for all. And that includes that thing that was done to me, done to you, whatever that thing might be. Jesus took the punishment for that on himself. Because sometimes we wonder, well, if I forgive them, who's, where's the punishment? Where's the fairness in that? Where's the justice in that? Justice happened at the cross. That's why we've got this cross up here to remind us that that's the basis for all of our relationships with God, is the fact that Jesus took our sins to the cross. And so God was totally aware of what happened, and Jesus paid for it. And it's important for us to remember that. Because sometimes there's a sense to say, well, they should get theirs. Well, Jesus took theirs, just like Jesus took ours and took it to the cross. And, you know, we can all think back in our minds and think about the stuff we've done and the times we've failed and the times we've sinned, and yet in God's grace and in his mercy and in his justice, he chose to take all those things and to lay them on his son and put them at the cross. And I find it just fascinating and amazing to me, almost shaking to me, that one of the last things Jesus said on that cross was, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Forgive them. And God even took that action on the part of those people, the Romans and the Jews, and placed that on Jesus and gave Jesus the punishment for it. That's really good news. That's really good news. If I'm a follower of Jesus, I know I'm not going to get punished for my sin because Jesus already did. I get to step into eternal life. Now, that doesn't change the fact that we need to forgive because we want to have the relationship with God good too. That's really, really important. So we do that. The third thing, and this is probably the toughest one in the bunch. I wrestled with this one for a long time. Honestly, I still wrestle with it a little bit, but I've seen that it works. The third thing in forgiving people, after remembering who I am and understanding Jesus already paid for it, he took the punishment for it. Third thing is I'm going to resolve to live with the consequences of what was done to me. And that's hard. That's hard because there's usually pain involved. Here's the deal, though, is that we're going to have to live with the consequences anyway. So the question is, how do I want to live with these consequences? Do I want to live with these consequences in bitterness and trying to get revenge and trying to get the other person somehow or injure them in some way? Or do I want to live with these consequences trusting God and trusting him that in the middle of all this, he is going to make something brand new and he is going to do something amazing in all of this? I remember sitting in a devotional once, actually in Austria, at somebody's living room, and they brought in a cheap pot, and they put a little light inside of it, and then they turned out all the lights in the room, and they had that pot sitting there, and we're kind of looking, okay, what's she going to do now? And she takes a hammer and a cloth and holds the pot with the cloth and takes a hammer and goes whack and breaks the pot, okay? And guess what happened? Light started spilling through all those cracks. All those cracks. If we had less windows and less lights in here, I probably would have done it this morning, but hey, you can get the picture in your head. Bottom line is sometimes it's those things that God uses to shine light to others. And he actually turns what was an injury into a strength. And that's part of living with the consequences of what was done to us. One thing I've found to be really helpful for me is to actually speak forgiveness. I haven't found it particularly helpful to go to somebody who's hurt me and say to them, well, I just want you to know I forgive you. That generally doesn't go well. Okay. But to speak it to the Lord, to say, Lord, I forgive, and I will mention them by name. For, and mention the injury by name. I forgive. Well, this isn't even one I can do an example with anybody in the room. It's just, this is too tense, but, you know, I forgive Tom for, hey, this really happened. I forgive Tom, back when I was at Menards, for stealing my sale and taking commission I should have gotten because I did all the work. Okay? See, you never forget. To actually take time to speak it. Now, that has helped me. That I've done that. I haven't found it helpful, like I said, to go to people and unless they come and confess what they did and then ask for forgiveness. Yeah, okay. Yeah, man, I forgive you. You know, let's see what we can do here. But to speak it. You say, well, I've done that, but the grudge is still there. The hurt is still there. But the only thing I can think of is keep on speaking it until something happens. Every time Satan brings up, yeah, look what they did to you, look what they, or we do it ourselves, look what they did to us, or we see the person, you know, which happens, it does happen, to say, you know what, Lord, I forgive so-and-so for that, and trust God, because some things are going to happen. Some things are going to happen in our hearts. Remember I said it takes time? Notice that those participles in there were bearing and forgiving, which means we keep on going. I think this is crucial in families. Sometimes in families, what we do is we hang on to stuff and then we pull it out of the cabinet and dump it on the other person, something they did 6 months ago or a year ago or whatever it might be, and we use the offense as a weapon against them, and in reality, God wants us to live in freedom. How will I know when I'm forgiven? I think based on how God loves us and has forgiven us, when I can think of the person and no longer immediately think of the injury and the pain, that's progress. When I can run into the person and not immediately think of the injury and the pain, that's progress. Again, it takes time. I'm not going to sit here and say, no, if you do this right, boom, it's all taken care of and you're all done. It takes time. But most of the things in our spiritual lives that we do, they take time. It's just the way it is. The beauty is that it truly can make a difference. One last thing that I think is really important in this area. We don't forgive somebody else for their sake. We forgive them for our sake. We set ourselves free, and we don't let them run our lives anymore. We step into freedom. When Jesus told us we need to forgive each other, when Paul said, forgive one another as Christ has forgiven you, there's consequences to that that are just marvelous. There's consequences that are just marvelous. And I just want to encourage you. I don't know where you're at in your life. I really don't know. I know where I'm at. Got a pretty good idea of where Sharon's at. But for each one of us, to take those steps, to forgive if we need to keep on forgiving if we need to, and to step into that freedom, but all the time remembering who we are. We are chosen, we are holy, and we are beloved. And remember I said, I'm going to keep saying that until you're rolling your eyes, and that's okay, because I really want us to get that. Because out of that will come the spiritual power to forgive and to step into freedom. Here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to ask that we take some time and pray. And I want to ask you just to talk to God again and just say, hey, you know, based on everything I just heard, and it was a lot today, based on everything I just heard, what would you like me to do? And then listen to him. And as you're doing that, please remember, if you're a believer in Jesus, you have been forgiven. You've been forgiven. Let's take some time in prayer, and then I'll close. The worship team can come up and get ready. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we sang earlier about there's no one like you. You're the one we praise. And we listed so many of your attributes and how amazing they are, and you truly are amazing. And I want to thank you, Jesus, for the truth that you forgive. Thank you for going to the cross for us. Thank you for taking our sin on yourself. And thank you for giving us the power to live in freedom and not to live in bondage. Grudges, bitterness, hurt, you set us free. Thank you for doing it with each one of us in a way that fits who we are. Thank you for bringing us along. You are someone who never would break a bruised reed, and you do that with us as well. Thank you for that. Help us just to step into that freedom. And I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.